Hallelujah. Yeah, the Lamb upon the throne. Thank you, praise and worship team, for that. Beautiful. Could be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've got our... Hey, you know what, Sister Deli, I see you getting the kids ready to go down to Children's Church. Is there anybody in this group that was there last night at the Pumpkin Fest? Give me a couple of those young people that were at the Pumpkin Fest. Quick, 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 quick. Y'all can come, yeah. So, for those of you that may not know, yesterday, I believe it, you could turn and face the people. Stay with me, I got you. All right. Uno, dos, tres. We got them. All right. One, two, three. Y'all related, right? We all are, right? We're all brothers. Yeah, amen. All right. So yesterday, about 3 o'clock, they had a pumpkin festival, we'll call it, right? And they gathered some of the youth downstairs. And I understand that you did some pumpkin painting. You had some games, even a little pizza, right? Some refreshments and stuff, right? So I just want to ask you guys, give me just a quick, you know, word on how it was for you. What you did, or did you have a good time? Give us a little something, because these people, they weren't there, so they don't know nothing about it. We've got to tell them about it. All right? You ready? All right, I'm going to give you your moment. Here you go. Tell them.
It was fun.
Yeah, what was fun?
The games and the pumpkin, paintings.
The painting? You painted them, right? I saw pumpkins down there. They're all painted up downstairs. Right? Good. Did they play this game like pin the tail on the...
Yeah.
On the what?
On the pumpkin.
Ah,
They'll put the nose on the pumpkin.
Oh, put the nose on the pumpkin. Okay. A takeoff from our donkey friend. Okay, good. That was fun, right? All right. Thank you. You know what? You didn't even introduce yourself. Tell the people your name.
Adrian.
Adrian. All right. Yo, Adrian.
Got it. All right. Good. Stay right here with me. You can come on here. Stay right here. Good. All right. You were there too?
Yeah. What did you do over there yesterday with the pumpkins?
Paint.
You painted. And was it fun?
Yeah.
What colors did you use?
Blue. What bluey?
Blue. Nice.
Did you have anything to eat?
Pizza.
Nice. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to be there. Was the pizza any good?
Yeah.
Ah, nice. All right. Would you do it again? If we did it another time, would you come back?
Yes.
I'll tell the people your name, because they don't know who you are.
What's your name?
Arjek.
Again?
Arjek.
Arjek?
Arjek.
Audrey.
Arjek.
Audrey? Awesome. All right, stand over here. Let's go to the big guy. All right, man. So you were there with the young people. Mm-hmm. Tell the people your name, how old you are, and give us a quick rundown. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. Ready? One, two, three, go.
My name is Aiden. I'm 16, and I don't know what.
You were there yesterday? What'd you do? Was it a good time?
It was a good time. We painted pumpkins. We played like a rock, paper, scissors game.
Rock, paper, scissors? Mm-hmm. Did you win?
Once.
Good.
Anything else?
That was pretty much it.
Did you help the little ones a little bit?
Not really.
They're on their own, right?
Yeah.
All right, nice.
So, do you have some ideas maybe for next time? Maybe we could make it even a little better or get some other things next time? What do you think?
Make a pie?
Yeah, what about the pie? Deacon was asking about that, about the pie. He was concerned about eating pie. Did they have that?
Yeah, they had like apple pie and pumpkin pie.
Nice. Pie and pizza?
Yep.
Nice.
Get some ice cream too.
Hey, ice cream. I missed it.
All right, so you got this guy's name?
Aiden.
Had a good time, and he was there eating pie and pizza and carrying on painting pumpkins. Good? All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, one, two, three. There you go. Give him a hand. Young people are going down to Children's Church. You could go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you for your help. Awesome. Thank you to all those that helped do that, set that up, plan for that, do that with the youth. We appreciate that. And I'm reminded also, again, after the service today, we have a little fellowship downstairs. So I think maybe we'll get a look at some of those pumpkins down there, right? I saw them already. I had a peek. They're looking awesome. All right, praise God. Good to see the youth involved and having fun in God. Amen? All right, let's... I got to watch my time today because I got to get you guys downstairs. Brother Jonas, you help me, right? We're going to shoot for 12:30 to, you know, wrap things up and get down there, all right? So we can have a few minutes to fellowship. All right? You help me? Yeah, all right. So I'm going to do this. Won't you open your Bibles to John chapter 10, and while you're getting there, I'll bring you up to speed a little bit about where we've been at recently, if you haven't been here. And that's this, that we've been looking at Jesus when he was on the planet and he was making disciples, and he went around calling the disciples to him, and he simply gave them, in the beginning anyway, two words. He said, "Follow me." And that's where he started in bringing his disciples to him. And then later on, you find that he says to them, once they determined he was the Christ, he was the Messiah, and they were sure about that, he said, "All right, now, fellas, I'm going to make it a little bit more aggressive on you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." So he put a greater demand on them at that point. And that, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me as disciples of Christ, that still holds true today in 2024. So if you're going to be a true disciple, a real follower of Christ, then that's going to be the way that we're going to walk. We're going to have to go the same way the original disciples went. And so today, as we continue to follow him, his way, I want to touch on a little something here. I want to touch on our faith, because I think I told you last week, you know, Hebrews tells us that we're to look unto Jesus. And it says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So he started this thing, the initial faith in Christ. He started it, and he will bring it to maturity as he returns, or as you go into glory to be with him. But he's the author and the finisher of the faith that we are in. Amen? So what I want to pay attention to today a little bit is I need God in the middle here. I know he was the author of my faith when I first heard the gospel and gave my life to Christ. And I know where I'm headed. I'm headed for him, for the glory of God, for the very presence of God in the end. When I get to him, I don't need faith anymore. You know, the reality of him, there it is. But in between this period, as I'm walking this thing out, I need to know that he's with me. So I got to have faith in the process of life. Are you with me? Yeah. We're faith walkers, if you will. He said, you know, don't walk by sight, but walk by faith, right? And so that's what I want to take a little look at with you today. And here's what I do know. If you apply the scripture to that context, you know that Jesus Christ is the same, come on, yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he is the God of today. What, I don't even know. Today's October the 27th, right? 2024. Yeah. He's the God of today. And so our faith and our trust can be in him today in our reality. Amen? All right. So are we in John 10? We're going to take a look at this a little bit. And for our recording this morning, and I believe we're also recording for YouTube. So welcome to anyone that's viewing this on YouTube. I hope that the Word of God and the Spirit of God draws you in and changes you, and you begin to know him and have faith and trust in him as you go through your journey. We're headed for glory, church. I told you that last week, but to get there, we're going to have to take this walk of faith seriously. Amen? I'm going to call this Jesus. Are you following his voice? Jesus, Are you following his voice, church? All right, we good in John chapter 10. Now, in John chapter 10, you're going to see a familiar passage where Jesus is identifying himself as our good shepherd. Okay? I'm going to read through it with you, and you know, we'll pause on a few verses to make a few points, but I want you to get the fullness of it. So I'm going to read through verse 1 to 21, okay? Stay with me. Verse 1. Jesus speaking here, and for the context, he's speaking to a group of people, and he's got some Pharisees in the crowd. And how many know the Pharisees? They were part of the Jewish, you know, people of that day, and they were, you know, the law extraordinaire in that day. They dotted the I's, crossed the T's. They were all about the law, and they were not really receiving Jesus' word and his message. Okay? So this in part is to them. This comes off of chapter 9 where he had healed a blind man, and the Pharisees were asking Jesus, you know, well, are we blind too then? So we'll pick it up in 10:1, and Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Into him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." I want you to catch that for a minute. Jesus is giving a little parable here to them, but he talks about the shepherd, the way he comes in through the gate, and he talks about the voice of the shepherd. Okay? Listen to that carefully. He says, "He goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." They know the voice of their shepherd. He's telling a parable here, but there's great truth in this, and there's great truth in it for us today. So stay with me. Verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And so Jesus speaks this parable to them, but they didn't understand what things they were that he spake unto them. So he's trying to give them truth. He gives it to them in a parable. They don't get it. They're not understanding this. So he goes on in verse 7. And Jesus says to them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So now he says it a little more plainly to them. He breaks it down. He says, listen, I'm the door of the sheep. Now let me pause there for a second. Were any of you here at the beginning of this year, January 2024, Lord gave us a little bit of a word in the beginning of the year, kind of a little slogan to follow after, and it was, open the door in 2024. Open the door in 2024. And part of that word was to open our hearts, open our lives to Jesus Christ himself, the door, and allow him greater access to our lives and begin to deepen in our relationship with him, to hear his word, yes, to know his voice, to move by his spirit, to come into a deeper place of relationship with him this year. And so we've been in that in various, you know, contexts throughout the year. And how many know when he speaks something in the beginning of the year, in January, it runs its course right through the year. If he said this is for this year, it goes right through then December 31st into a new year. So I'm embracing it as we still continue throughout this year. He says, I'm the door. Verse 8, "All that ever came before me, they're thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Again, he says in verse 9, "I am the door, and by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." So as a shepherd, he says, if you enter in through me, I'm the door, he says, you could go in and go out and you'll find pasture. You'll find what you have need of as you follow the shepherd. Verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Another version says, you might have life to its fullest measure. So as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you started it one day in believing in him and believing the gospel. That's where your faith started. That's where your walk began. And you're continuing in your journey. And one day we'll meet him. Either he's going to come back and we're going to meet him that way, or we're going to go to glory and we're going to meet him that way. Either way, we're going to get to him. But it's through this walk of faith that we have to go. Amen? The abundant life. That's part of it right there. Knowing Christ. Knowing him and walking and talking with Jesus. See, you've entered into an eternal life, an eternal relationship with Christ. It's not just about the stuff, you know, the stuff that we have over this life, however many years we're given. Some people, you know, might get caught up in the stuff, the abundant life. Oh, I, you know, have all these riches. Oh, I travel all over the place. Oh, I have all this popularity and I have all this. Well, you may have some of those things along the way, or you may not. That's not his point. You can have those things as long as they're in the proper perspective. As long as you have God first, he could bless you with things. He could give you stuff to use while you're here. But how many know, whatever it is, we ain't taking it with us. Amen? You can enjoy it while you're here. Wonderful. But then you don't take all the stuff into glory. But your relationship goes right into glory forevermore. And so part of the abundant life that he's talking about here as a good, good shepherd is that if you'll follow him, then you will have an abundant life, or a wonderful life in him for all eternity. It's in the fullest measure. Verse 11, he says again, I think this is probably, well, let me just read it. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, at this point, he hadn't laid down his life on the cross yet. But he prophesies it. He says, I'm the good shepherd and I'm going to give my life. I'm going to lay it down for you. This is a good, good shepherd. This is a good, good leader. This is somebody that's going to lay his life down for your sake. He says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. So he contrasts the good shepherd with a hireling. And that's what you get out of that kind of person. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. One more time, Jesus. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. So think about that for a minute. He knows you. My question today is going to be, do you know him? Do you know your good shepherd today? How well do you know the good shepherd? He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows us better than we know ourselves, folks. But do we know him? As the Father knows me, he says, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he brings the relationship between him and the Father into the picture. And he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So how many realize here we are at Harvest Christian Bible Church, we're one fold of Christians. We're one fold of disciples that Christ has. But there's a lot of other churches throughout the land. Other folds of sheep, if you will. Okay? That he's going to bring everybody together as one people, as one fold. And we are to have one shepherd, and that's him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's referring to. Therefore, does my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again? And no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Now, when he said all this, there was a division in the people that were there, in the Jews that were listening to him, the Pharisees and others. So they still hadn't made up their mind that he was the Messiah, that he would be the good, good shepherd, and that they would follow after him. It says that there was a division in verse 19 among the Jews for what Jesus had said. And many of them said, he has a devil and he's mad. Why hear ye him? So he's nuts. Why are you listening to this guy? Some of them said. Okay? But others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So like I said to you earlier, the previous chapter talks about him healing the blind man. So it's coming out of that. So they're saying, nobody, we never saw this before. Nobody has opened the eyes of the blind. Nobody's healed the blind man like that. How could he be a devil? How could he be, you know, a crazy man if he's doing the works of God? So within the mix of the people that were there, you had all of these kind of responses. But Jesus was stating very clearly, he's the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice. Now, to bring that into 2024 a little bit, to get the reality of it, how many realize Jesus is not walking around the earth anymore? He's not on the planet anymore. He was in this hour when he was speaking these things, but he left us his word, and he sent his spirit to us, and so we can follow this by the grace of God because of that, because of what he did. And so the voice of Jesus is found in the word of God. His voice is really synonymous with his word. What he said in this day when he walked the planet is still alive today. How many realize we open the book that it's a living word? Amen? It's a living word. Hebrews tells us. And so we can get a hold of his voice by getting a hold of his word. You have to hear the word in the context and in the spirit that it was written in. If you just pursue the word of God with just the law mentality, just the word, the word, the word, the dry set law, then it will be too hard and it won't do what Jesus had purposed it to do. And if you get too far out in the spirit, you know, and there's a lot of that out there that's labeled Christian that, you know, it's like, woo, they're out there in the spirit. And I don't know what they're following, but they're out there just blowing in the wind. Too much spirit could get you taken away and off the trail. But really what you want is the marriage of the word and the spirit being one to really catch the voice of the good, good master, or in this context, the good shepherd. Amen? So I'm going to encourage you today as we go forward with this to, when you get the word, make sure you catch it in the spirit of the way the Lord was speaking it and what he meant. Word and spirit together. So my question out of this passage, as I said, is really, do you know him? And are you following his voice? Because there's a lot of voices in the land. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about stuff right now. A lot of different voices and People want you following this way or following that way or following this person or that person. A lot of yakking going on if you're paying attention. And certainly the enemy, you know, will have a field day with it. And there'll be a lot of mixture out there in Christian land. But I would encourage you to get close to Jesus, get close and listen carefully to His voice and let His voice guide you in your affairs. Amen? Okay. So I need to know today if you could hear His voice. And I'm not asking about the audible voice of God. Like I said, I'm asking you about, are you hearing His word? Are you catching what He's saying in the book? Are you getting that in your heart and in your spirit? Because the other part of it is, if you can hear it, if you can hear His voice, then we need to be obedient to it. We need to hear the voice of God and then apply it to our lives or walk it out by the grace of God. So if you just come in the room here and you hear a message and then you just walk out and you don't use it at all, you don't apply it to your life, it's really useless to you then. You just, you know, you had an hour of maybe a good time in God. I don't know how good it is for you today, but you had an hour and then that's it. But if you take the word in, you take it into your heart, you take it into your life, and you consider what Jesus is saying, and you apply it to your life, then He has the opportunity to change you, to transform you, to make you more and more like Him. As we go forward into glory, then we can walk this thing out by faith. How many know Romans tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Well, all right, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God. Do you catch that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing what Jesus said, hearing what God says to our lives. Amen? That's what you want to tune into, not all the other voices. See, God's got His own channel, you know. He's got His own channel, God's channel, and you got to align to it. You have to align to what He's saying. It's not the other way around. So, if you could hear it today and be obedient to it, then there's a blessing in it in your faith walk. Turn with me one more place to a familiar place, Psalm 23. I'm talking about Jesus this morning, about following His voice. Psalm 23. As you're getting to Psalm 23, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. Some of you sitting before me might have even taught out of it in Sunday school, or you caught it somewhere, but it's probably one of the more familiar Psalms, and it's used in different contexts. Today, as we're talking about Jesus as the good shepherd, let's take a look at this. Let's take a walk here through about six verses. And this is David's heart here. This is David sharing his confidence, really, in God as his shepherd. See, what I'm looking to try to impart to you today is that you need to see God as your shepherd. And we, as His people, need to see Him and know Him as our shepherd. We could be led by a lot of different voices, a lot of different people, a lot of different stuff. But I'm saying that if we'll pay attention here to our good shepherd and follow His voice, we'll all be better off. Amen? Verse 1, Psalm 23, verse 1. David says it like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." See where I got that from, Deacon? That wasn't a good idea. That was from the Word of God for you earlier. We need to say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. See, he's not the church's shepherd, you know, really distant and just some kind of label over the church. It's personal with him. Niji, right? Your relationship with Christ is personal. You're to get to know him. And you get to know him through his word and by his spirit and by the grace of God, so that you can come to a place and say, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's covering me. He's my. It's personal. I'm going to follow him, trust him. You understand? So it's not just like out there somewhere, or it's not just in a book somewhere, but it becomes a reality in your life. Amen? Listen, I don't know. This is a pause. I don't know if you were here the day I said, I need to get together with some of the youth, some of the young people. And you were one of them that was on my heart. Some of those people that were water baptized not too long ago. I want to get together with you. So after service today, catch me for a minute so we could talk just and get a time. There's a few other people that I want to just spend some time with and sow into your life a little bit. All right? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. And then he said, I shall not want. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, when I did the offering with you earlier, I talked about what Paul gave us, right? That knowing the Lord as your shepherd and knowing him that he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, Timothy told us this way. I think he said it in 1 Timothy that contentment he was talking about. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so if you'll find a place in your relationship with God where you're content with him and you trust him and you know that he's going to take good care of you, you know that he's going to be your shepherd, you won't have wants. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. See, a good shepherd would bring the sheep to some good grass, some good pastures to feed on. A good shepherd would bring the sheep to some water that was still waters. He didn't bring them to troubled waters, didn't bring them to turbulence, didn't drink. They didn't have to drink out of, you know, dead, lousy water that would harm them, but he would lead them to a place where they could eat and drink and be refreshed and be strengthened. Come on, catch it. Come on. He would take good care of them. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. That talks about peace as well, that when the sheep are well taken care of, they'll sit down, they'll lay down, and they'll rest in the peace, knowing that their shepherd's taken good care of them. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now let's look at that for a minute. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. If he's a good shepherd, he's not going to take you astray, folks. If he's leading you in the path of righteousness, that's his pathway. See, he's not leading you to a path of destruction. He's not leading you to a path of turbulence. He's not leading you down, you know, a crooked way where it's going to be a problem for you. If you're listening to his voice and you're following him by faith, he's going to lead you in a path of righteousness that's a good place for you. Here's another quick example. When Jesus taught them to pray, he said to pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So even in teaching on prayer, God knew that we would need leading in the right direction and that he would not lead us into temptation. And if we went off course, if we were tempted by the enemy or our own desires, our own lustful nature, if we were tempted to go off course, he would even be there to deliver us, take us out of that, and get us back on course. Deliver us from evil. You see what a good, good God? Because he knows in our nature, if we're left to ourselves, you know, we could go off course this way or that way or listen to the wrong voice or stumble and fall, whatever. You with me? So he knew, and he put it right there in prayer as well. He wants us to follow this path of righteousness. He wants to lead us this way because, look, his name is attached to us. He says, for my name's sake, I'm going to lead you in this path. I'm going to lead you in the right way because you're mine. And everybody knows you're mine. So I'm not going to lead you down an alleyway and see you get all beaten up. I'm going to lead you. Actually, Isaiah prophesied it like this. Isaiah prophesied that Zion would return. The people of God would return. And he said that there's a way. There's a highway of holiness, that there wouldn't be any ravenous beasts there. There wouldn't be any of that, but rather it would be for the redeemed to walk there. We used to sing a song a long time ago about the way of holiness, right? The highway of holiness, that only the redeemed could walk there. I don't think you know that, so I won't bother you with that. It's a highway that's reserved for the believers and disciples of Jesus Christ, where you can get up above all the attacks of the enemy, all the ravenous beasts, and you're only allowed there. The devil's not allowed there. You know, all the beasts and all the voices, the other stuff, they're not allowed there. But it's a highway of holiness that leads to the glory of God. Ah, come on, somebody. Maybe one day I'll preach out of that. If you want to look at it, it's Isaiah 35. But enough said about that for today. It's a path of righteousness that he wants to lead us on. David is giving us this here. He says then in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's just a shadow of death. No fear. Why? For thou art with me. See, Jesus, you're with me. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You're with me. Excuse me. I will not fear. Your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. See, the rod that the shepherd had was to beat the bushes, to get the animals and the wolves and anything that was there, snakes, anything that was there to harm the sheep. That was part of the shepherd's job. And the staff that he, you know, would hold was a staff of authority, that he was the leader and he was taking his authority to lead that group of sheep through the land to a safe place. And that brought comfort to David's heart. When you know him as your good shepherd and you see him this way, it'll bring some peace and some comfort even as you walk through even a valley of the shadow of death. He says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Don't you love that? God's not moved by our enemies. We ought not to be either. We have plenty of enemies, but we have one good, good shepherd. He'll feed us right in the middle of the enemies. I love that. The Lord puts it right in the face of the enemy. He says, no, they're mine. I'm going to take good care of them. And so whether you're here or not, I'm going to prepare a table for them. They can come to the table and they can eat. They could eat the good word of God. They can drink of the Spirit of God right in your face. I love the boldness of God. There's strength and authority when you read it like that and understand it like that. When we sing a song about it, in the presence of mine enemies, that might come to you in a minute. Thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Yeah, the anointing comes down from the Lord upon our lives. His anointing, it's precious. It comes from Him. And it's really based on your walk, your sanctification. If you're walking that straight and narrow way, if you're walking that path of righteousness by the grace of God, if you're listening to His voice and you're following after Him, that anointing will come upon you and you're then to be what He's called you to be. And you'll do what He put before you to do. And your cup will run over. How many know that if your cup's running over, I don't know, pick anything you want. Is it running over with love? Is it running over with joy? Is your cup running over with peace? I don't know. In God, there's all of that and more. But if your cup is running over, like David says here, well, that's running over for somebody else. You ought to just bump into somebody and spill your cup of joy on them. Spill your cup of the love of God on them. Huh? Spill a little peace on those around you. See, if it's coming from Him and He's filling up your cup day by day by the grace of God, well, would you please spill it on somebody? Amen? Ha! You think that's just for you? And then he finishes this psalm with verse 6. He says, for sure, for sure. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And for sure, then goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness, the goodness of God is what started your walk. The goodness of God, that's the grace of God. We're saved by faith, right? By the grace of God. He brought us in. His goodness brought us in. And He's going to bring us all the way through by faith in Him, by trusting in Him to the glory of God. So goodness is going to follow us and mercy, because we're going to need that from time to time. We're going to miss it from time to time. We're going to stumble. We're going to take a wrong turn. Yeah, we're going to listen to the wrong voice maybe from time to time. You're going to have some things happen. But He knows that, and He provides mercy for you in those times that you need it. Huh? That's why it's a throne of grace. You can get to the throne of grace in a time of need, to obtain the grace and the mercy that you need from God in that moment. He's a good God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's good news. I'll dwell in His presence. How about that? Forevermore. I will live in the glory of God forevermore. Ah. I'll close it. I hate this clock. But we do need to fellowship today. If you could take this word today and apply it to your life. See, today in 2024, I got to ask you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ then or not? Are you following Him or not? His way is clear. In the midst of many, many voices in the land, today, do you know His voice? Are you tuned in to the voice of the Lord? He is the good shepherd. There's no question about that. And his promises that he gives us will lead us in that path of righteousness. See, his word represents his promises to us, which represents his voice to us. But we've got to listen and obey. Amen? This path of righteousness where goodness and mercy will follow us into his presence forevermore. So I want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage you today to press in. Press in to hear the voice of God. To hear his voice so that you know the voice and you know him. We need him in this hour. We need him forevermore, but we need to hear his voice. And I'll say this about God, if you haven't discovered it yet, he is faithful. And he's faithful to his word. He'll never violate his word. And if that represents his voice, which it does, you could trust the voice of God. You may not be able to trust the voice of a man, of a woman, or anyone else for that matter, but you could trust the voice of God. He says in another place, and I'll close, that what he started in your life, he will complete. But it's going to take us following his voice, believing his voice, and walking that out by faith then. Amen? Amen. Brother Jonas, a little anesthesia for the people. They heard enough from me for today. Praise and worship team, come and join me. Give us one good worship song that we can join in with and worship our God together. Let him know that you agree with him today, folks, that you agree with his word, that you do hear the voice of God through his word and by his spirit, and that by his grace, we're going to be obedient to it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to go forward with him and follow him by faith. Amen? Come on, let's worship God.
In the darkness, my God, that is.
Yes, Lord, as we close today, yeah, you're the way maker, the miracle worker, and the promise keeper of your word. What you've promised, you will fulfill. We thank you that we could put our trust in you today. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Let the Word of God be revealed more and more to us. And let the Spirit of God bring it to life in our lives. I pray, Father, for your people today. Let your grace be mightily upon them as we desire to follow after you, Lord, and follow you as our good, good shepherd today, knowing that you're going to bring us into a path of righteousness in a good, good place. We thank you in advance for what you're doing in and through our lives today. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.